And we're going back to use a little verse that I used this morning and did not explain it or expound it because it'll fit tonight. Tonight's one of those messages that it'll either go through one ear and out the other, or it'll make you mad, or you will just pay no attention to it, or you might learn something. Amen. Now, you'll fit one of them. And it's a little strange, but I tried to find something else today and argued with the Lord, and the Lord puts you on something sometimes you don't particularly want to preach. I don't mind preaching the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. I love it. Love it all. But sometimes I just say, Lord, can't I do that another time? And this is one of them times, and I had no idea this morning I was preaching this tonight, but in the 14th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, and boy, when you look at the 14th chapter, if anybody has been studying the Scriptures long, you know good and well you can get into some hot water here. I was pastoring a church, Baptist church. That's all I've ever pastored. All ever. I know more about the Baptists than anything. Amen. But I had a lady sit on the second row. Some of y'all done heard me tell this, but she would speak in tongues. I thought she was, anyhow. And we get in the choir, and the choir kind of get excited a little bit. And my wife said, she's speaking in tongues. I said, no, surely not. You're just hearing things. And so I moved over to her side and stood in front of her in the choir. If I ever move around here, I stay in that same place back here. But you see me move somewhere in the choir, I got something on my mind. But I moved to the other side. And sure enough, back there, she was saying things I couldn't understand. And so that night, I decided I would preach the 14th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. And I preached it straight down the line, one verse after another. When service was over, she stood on the second row and stood up. And she said, Pastor, she said, I got this gift at my husband's dying bedside. Said it come in the window, went around the foot of the bed and come up and lit upon my shoulder. And I've been speaking in tongues ever since. And I said, ma'am, as long as I'm pastor here, you don't speak in tongues unless you can produce me an interpreter. And that kind of... I just guess dumbfounded her, and service is over, and I dismissed and went home, thought nothing about it. The very next night, Chairman Board of Deacons calls, said, Preacher, I said, yes, sir. He said, I don't know hardly how to tell you this, and I hate to have to deliver this message. And I said, well, the best thing to do, just deliver it. And he said, we had a deacons meeting tonight and decided we did not need you back. And I said, is it because I preached on tongues last night? He said, yes. Said, Miss Millie is a very, said she's a very influential member. And she's very prominent here. And we just did not want her to get upset. And I said, well, change your sign. Take Baptist off of it and put something else there. If you want to contest it, you can come back, he said. I said, no, I just shake the dust off my feet as a testimony against you. And I hadn't been back myself. And then they'd call me up every once in a while and say, Preacher, we are sorry all that happened. I said, well, you just let your true color show. Them men in there didn't have enough guts to stand up for the truth. Amen. And amen. Now you say, well, I believe in it too. Well, I hope after a service tonight you won't. If you do, I hope you understand it. A lot of our churches don't believe that way, but a lot of them do, and they have a hard time understanding. And I don't in here tonight to even try to offend you in any way whatsoever, but just declare the truth. That's all God give me to do anyhow. 1 Corinthians 14, stand please, and let's read together. The Bible said in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, follow after charity. Now, charity is love. And desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, chapter 13 talks about the love of God. And so he's carrying it on. In verse 2 it said, "For he," notice this, "that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries." Notice some scriptures here. He said, "But he that prophesieth," as preaching, "speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort." Now, I want you to go back and read that verse with me again. Notice why the difference. If you're speaking in an unknown tongue, you're speaking not unto men, but unto God. Do you get that? "For no man understands him, or understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries." But verse 3 said, "But he that prophesieth," that means preaching in the, amen, the language we understand. "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men," and here's what he speaks to men for, "to edification." Notice that word. "And exhortation," notice that word. "And comfort." Three things that he speaks when he's prophesied. "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth," what's the big next word there? "Himself." Now, we're not to come to edify ourselves. "But he that prophesieth edifieth the church." "I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret," except he interpret. I'm like a broke record, "except he interpret." Did you get that? "That the church may receive" what? "Edifying." Is that what we're supposed to do? Edify. That's my job tonight, to edify you. All right, you can be seated and we'll proceed and drop it off tonight when we, I guess, get enough. All right, could I not finish this? Let's pray. Father, give us wisdom and understanding as we tackle this subject tonight that's so misused, so confused, and, Lord, so misinterpreted. And I pray, God, you give us perfect liberty with the Spirit of God to declare the whole counsel and not to waver tonight, but to stand steadfast and be what we need to be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, I'd like to go back, hold your place there in 1 Corinthians, because we're coming back to that. But I want you to turn back with me tonight in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, where we were this morning. And I was going to preach this morning, but somehow the Lord put me in a different direction and I never got to it. And this afternoon when I was studying, I now understand why. God knows how to move everything around. And if he don't prepare the message and give us something tonight, we're going to mess up. But when God gives the message, it's always a blessing and a help. But in Ephesians chapter number 4, I want to go back to read two verses, verse 11 and verse number 12. The Bible said, "And he gave some apostles," all right, "and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Now that's the leaders of the church that God put in. Now he did that for three reasons. In verse number 12, he gives us those three reasons. Now notice them. "For the perfecting of the saints." It's not to make you perfect, it's to make you mature. That word perfect, perfecting of the saints, means maturing you in the Lord. Now God has called the evangelists, the prophets, and the pastors and the teachers. He's called them and put them into the business for one thing, for these three things. Number one, to perfect the saints. We're to preach tonight to mature you. That's to teach you the things of God so that you will know what the Bible states and what the Bible says. The second reason that God's put preachers in the pulpit and the evangelists is for the work of the ministry. Now, what does that mean? It means, what is the ministry? Somebody said, what in the world is the ministry? It's the work of the gospel. The furtherance of the gospel. To advance the cause of the gospel. Now, God has put preachers and evangelists in the pulpits in America, number one, to mature the saints, to get you educated, to know the truth. Secondly, to work the ministry, to qualify you and get you the place that you will further advance the cause of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that's what the church's job's to do. And then the third reason is for the, what's that big word? We done went over it. Edifying. Edifying of the body of Christ. Now what's that word edify mean? It means to instruct. It means to build up. It means to lift up the saints to the place. And edify, to prepare. In other words, it's not only to give you maturity and to give you what you need to go out and qualify and give you the materials you need, the spiritual knowledge you need in your heart to witness to men and women, but it's also that you might be blessed and encouraged and challenged. Amen. Have you ever gone to church and when you left you felt more challenged? You come in, didn't care too much about doing anything, but when you left, you wanted to go out and pass out tracts and witness to people and pray and read your Bible like you never have before. But once you got a breath of fresh air, you probably didn't. But it has challenged you to do it, has it not? Now that's what God put preachers in the church for. Now, going back to 1 Corinthians, going back there for just a moment, as we look in 1 Corinthians, what's happened now? He's saying if you speak in tongues, what you're doing, you begin to edify yourself. You bring notice to yourself. You see yourself. And a lot of things. You see, today there's so much of this. Now, there's a lot of people that go to churches, and they wouldn't go to church if they didn't believe that you could speak in tongues. And they major, and usually most of those, 99.9% of them, believe that you can lose your salvation. You can be saved today and go to hell tomorrow. Now, I don't believe what some people think, hey, we're saved and whatever you do. I believe there's a lot of things that people do. They do them because they're lost and they're under pretense of being saved. I believe tonight when you're saved by the grace of God, you'll separate yourself from sin. And if you do get involved in it, God will cut you down. Amen. If you don't have any chastisement, the Bible says you're a bastard, not a son. And I'm not trying to be critical tonight, just trying to preach the Word of God. So I want to take a different approach and look at this thing. And I hope tonight will help you. I hope it will strengthen you. I hope it already been helped. But I'm thinking about this. Let's just find where the mention of tongues are in the first or in the New Testament. Tongues are mentioned in the Old Testament. Where's the first mention? Anybody know where the first mention of tongues is? Right off? Where? All right, so most of the folks are going to say Acts 2. If you said somewhere else, I didn't pick up on it, but it's not the first place. Acts 2. No, I'm talking about in the New Testament now. And we're not talking about the Old Testament, but yeah, that's where the tongues, that's why we're going to, hey, you hit on something, we're going to be on that in just a minute. But I want to say that the first mention of tongues is found in the book of Mark. I want you to turn your Bible to the book of Mark, and Jesus is the one that mentions it. And so we want to look at what the Bible says. I don't care what anybody else says. It don't make no difference what you think, but it does matter what God says. Now Jesus has been crucified, he's been buried, and he has risen on the third day, just like he said he would. He's appeared to the disciples and he's fixing to leave the scene. So he's challenging them and giving them the Great Commission. You can find them in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and you can find this Great Commission given. But we want to read verse 15 of chapter number 16. Now, we've got some weird folks in the world. I mean, we got some people that are, the devil has twisted their mind and warped their mind till they believe about anything. Some people you can come through town beating on a tub and hollering hallelujah and you'll get you a crowd. They don't really care what you believe. You can say anything and they'll follow you. Amen. They're just people like that. But in the book of Mark chapter 16, the Bible said, and he said, this is Jesus, unto them, go ye into all the world, not part of it, but all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the death, burial, and resurrection. We preach the gospel. Verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And there's a lot of denominations built exactly on that one little sentence. And I call them the water preachers. And they'll baptize and say this is essential to salvation, and baptism saves you. That's what they preach. That's not what the Bible teaches. But they'll take one little verse out of context. And they'll say that tonight, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he explains a little bit more. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, beloved, the believing is the part. That's the key. It's not the baptism. You can be baptized so many times that the tadpoles know your social security number and your driver's license. And you die and go to hell. Water will not wash away sins. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else will save. There's power in the blood, nothing but the blood. Now verse 17 says, and these signs, mark that in your Bible, signs, and these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. You know, people today, they're talking about it and they want the gift of the tongues, and they talk about all the gifts we're going to try to get there tonight, Lord willing. And I may end up more confusing you than I did, than you were when you come in, but we're going to try our best to walk through this. I don't have no problem with it. I've settled on it a long time ago. Wouldn't you hate to know that I wasn't settled on it by this time? After almost 50 years of preaching, wouldn't you like to know tonight that I believe I know what I believe, and I'm not wishy-washy with it? And you said, preacher, what are you thinking? I said, I don't know. Wouldn't that be bad? But I believe tonight what the scripture said. And he said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. I would to God, if they want some of these gifts, that they'll grab their Bible and get down the road and start casting out devils. It'd do more for society than speaking in tongues. Would it not? We got a lot of people full of devils. You know why they shoot schools up? Because they're full of devils. You know why they do the things that they do and kill people? It's just looking at them, they're full of devils. I believe in it, all right. The Bible said in verse 18, they shall take up serpents. Amen. Now some people take that literally. Taking up serpents. You know how I believe you ought to take up serpents like Paul did. Went out and got some wood to put on the fire. Didn't know he had a snake. And it done bit on to him and he kept a going. They thought he was going to die, but he kept a going. Now that's the kind of stuff I believe God takes care of. Amen. And then he said, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Hey, I don't believe you ought to go take something and swig it down tonight just to prove that you got faith to believe. That's an idiot. Amen. Faith is not stupidity. Am I right tonight? It's not stupidity. I know this. My time is going to come. And God's going to call my number one of these days. But I'm not going to stand out there on 441 and wait on for a Big Mac to come down the road just to see if God's going to spare me. Understand? All right, but we'll go on. So what's happened? You ain't no telling how many times you've been to some of these places and to eat something would have killed you, drunk something would have killed you. You don't know how many times God done spared you, by the way. Amen. A fellow says, if you eat my wife's cooking, you better pray over it. Amen. Not mine. But I'm going to go on to say tonight that the first mention of tongues is in the book of Mark. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you tongues. And he said this, I'm going to give them to you for a sign. Can I ask you tonight who Jesus was speaking to? He was speaking to the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, his disciples and his believers. Remember, the church is not here. It's not there now at this particular place. The Jews have just come to the place that they have rejected him. There's a transition period fixing to set in the book of Acts.
And Jesus, since the Jews refused him and rejected him, he's going to put them on the sideline. He's doing it now in this particular scripture. And what he's going to do is going to go to the Gentiles. Now, I'll give you some scriptures tonight, too, and we'll find other things. But I want you to go to Acts chapter 2. I don't want to get ahead of myself and explain something before I put something out there to explain. In Acts chapter 2 is the second instance that tongues are spoken of. In chapter number 2, that's the place where we find the day of Pentecost. And the power of God fell. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, 50 days that is, by after Jesus ascended, or after he rose from the dead, amen, we'll find, that's after his resurrection, we'll find 50 days later the power of God's fallen. They were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues. Now mark that in your Bible, cloven tongues. The first time it's mentioned here, cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Now we've got cloven tongues, we've got other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now go down and look at verse 11. I'm skipping down. And notice what the Bible said. He said, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Tongues is mentioned three times in chapter 2 as cloven tongues, as other tongues, and as our tongues. What happened on the day of Pentecost, and it goes back to what was already said tonight, that the Tower of Babel, they confused the languages, God confused them, and here's people coming from every nationality. They're coming to the day of Pentecost, and here they are. People from all over, and they speak different languages. And so God wants them to hear, and he's still talking to the Jew. He's preaching that on the day of Pentecost was the Jewish people. Gentiles were not involved. They were not there. The disciples were Jewish. The apostles were Jewish, all of them. Amen. Even the apostle Paul. And so they were Jewish. And so the time is fixing to change. And the Lord wants those Jewish nations to hear that Jesus Christ has died on the cross of Calvary, went to the grave, and arose on the third day. They've rejected him. They said, away with him. But now the Lord wants them to understand. He wants them to know that they've just crucified the Christ. And so what's he do? He gives them a sign. He said they're going to be a sign. The Jews look after a sign. And so that's what they're looking for. And so what's happened is the Lord is going to unconfuse the languages. Because it said there, as I read to you just a moment ago, it said, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in what kind of tongues? Our tongues. That's not a jibber jabber. When you get to 1 Corinthians, it's unknown. They call it the unknown tongue. When I find that's the only place you'll find it is in 1 Corinthians, called an unknown tongue. Unknown. And I'll explain that if I have time tonight. God help us. Amen. Well, I can see we're in for a long haul here, but I'll try my best to condense it. All right? So we find that they heard the word of God for the first time in their own languages, 17 different nationalities of people. God said, now the gospel's been delivered to you. Now I want you to hear the gospel, and I want you to go out and tell that gospel and do what you're supposed to do. I want you to go teach and preach in the name of Jesus the death, the burial, and the resurrection in your own language. They'd have never heard it. They'd have never heard it. Now, see, I'll show you that tonight. After Peter got through preaching that day, 3,000 souls got saved. Amen. So what was the tongues for? Not to edify itself. at this time not to edify the church, because it's no church yet. Amen. It's still the Jewish nation in charge, you understand? And he gave them the commission to go in all parts of the world. He gave them the charge to go in all parts of the world. They failed in that. So God resorted to the Gentiles. And God gave it to Paul, and he took it and run with it. But before then, it happened, and we're going to look at that again tonight. So for the first 35 years at least in that area, the first few years, the Jews now have taken the gospel and are trying to get it out, and they believed it. Now the Jews would not have believed. The Jews would not have believed had they not had a sign. Those tongues was for that. And there's no record. There's no record of any of those 3,000. Any of those 3,000 that got saved on that day that spoke in tongues either. They went and preached the gospel in their own language. Show me some scripture tonight that they went out speaking in tongues because the Holy Ghost fell on them. You won't find it. You find it, show it to me. It'll be out of some perversion if you find it. It won't be out of King James Bible. And so what happened? He sent those Jews out to preach the gospel. All right? We find that he gave them for a sign. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm going to be back and forth in the Word of God. And we're going to go back in the book of Acts in just a minute. And we're going to look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And verse number 22. Chapter 14 and 22. I'd like to preach this whole 14th chapter, but I wouldn't have enough strength and daylight to show up. The Bible said, Wherefore tongues are for a sign. Do you remember what Jesus said? I'm going to give you a sign. What's the sign? The tongues. He said, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe. Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Those signs made them unbelievers, those unbelieving Jews, know that God had moved in. Something was different about it. These men are speaking, and they're speaking with new wine. Seem like they're drunk, and they weren't. They was drunk on the Spirit of God. And so these Jews looked at that and said, God surely has visited us. God surely is here. And they believed it and got saved. It was a sign. You see that tonight? It's just as plain as a nose on your face. Now the third mention of tongues in the New Testament is found in Acts chapter 10. Let's back up and go to Acts chapter 10. And we'll see some things in Acts chapter 10. You know the story about Acts chapter 10. Peter's on the rooftop over there. He gets in a trance and he sees a sheet come down out of heaven with all manner of four-footed beasts and things, and unclean animals. And God said, rise up, kill and eat. He didn't say, I got it crossed backwards, but I'm telling you, he told him, said, rise, kill and eat. And he said, I can't eat and kill and eat that which is common or unclean. And God said, don't call what I've cleansed common and unclean. Those four-footed beasts and animals that's coming down the sheet were typifying and looking and typical of the Gentile nation. Amen. They are foreign. Hey, Jesus told the Jews, said, go to the house of Israel. Don't you go to the Gentiles. You preach to the Jew. Amen. Salvation is of the Jews, what he said. And I'm telling you tonight, it was in the Word of God that way. And God designed it that way. But the Jews, they refused. They kept turning their back and going a different direction. And God said, I'm going to open it up. So old Cornelius is over there praying and saying, Lord, I want to know something. I want to know the truth. He's an old Gentile. And so Peter gets the word from God to go see him. And he goes over and sees him. And so let's look at the book tonight, Acts chapter 10 and verse number 46. The Bible said, let's look at verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Amen. That's what happens. Amen. You want the Holy Ghost, brother, you hear the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. Now, who's the circumcision? That's the Jew. Which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a sign. It's a sign. And these Jews that came with him, he said, which believe, the believing Jews that came with Peter to the house of Cornelius, you got it? They saw the Holy Ghost poured on the Gentiles. And so God give them a sign. For they heard them speak with what? Tongues. And magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Hey, them Jews recognized that the same God had moved in on the Gentiles. And it's a sign that this was real. And that tongue, those tongues was to show them Jews. They needed a sign. They got to see. They're from Missouri. Amen. It's a show me state. Ain't that right? Ain't Missouri? I think that's the state. Amen. And so I'm saying to you tonight, they had to see to believe. So God gave them a sign. Now, let's go on just a little bit more. And let's look at, this is the second time, actually the third mention, but it's the second time, the second occurrence, and the second location that tongues were mentioned in the early church age. Now let's go to the 19th chapter of Acts. Acts 19. Amen. I hope tonight you're not getting tired on me. Amen. Acts chapter 19 and verse number 6. The Bible said in Acts 19 and 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spake with tongues and prophesied. These are some Gentiles here, and they heard. The Bible said in verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And they had been baptized. These are some believers that had been baptized, amen, and Jewish people too, by the way. And they were baptized in John the Baptist, or by John the Baptist. See, he said up in, well, I believe it is, let's go back and see. Verse 3. Well, let's go to verse 2. He said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? They said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. So here these believers got baptized and spoke in tongues as a sign for the Jew to know that it's right. Now, the only other time that you'll find tongues mentioned in the New Testament, the speaking of tongues in the New Testament, besides those places, that place in Mark and the three places we found in the book of Acts, is chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14 of the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, tongues is so important that it must be something that we do in our normal service. How come the Apostle Paul didn't put it out everywhere else? Paul said he didn't do much of it. Understand? Amen. You see, there's signs that come up. The fifth mention of it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. Amen. Tongues is only mentioned besides the book of Mark in the book of Acts and the book of 1 Corinthians. Not 2 Corinthians, but 1 Corinthians. And that's over the period of a 35 or 40 year range of the New Testament church. Now, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians and let's look at something out of that 14th chapter. I want you to see some scriptures. I'll hurriedly get through, find us an unhitching place, and we'll go home. And I'll by no means have even covered what I wanted to cover. But we're going, first of all, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and let's look at verse number 1. Some people don't believe in this, and some folks go to the other extreme of it. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Paul said, I want you to know the truth. I don't want you to be ignorant. Somebody said, do you believe in the gifts of God? They're in the book, aren't they? Amen. Then I believe in the gifts of God. All right. So he said in chapter 12 and verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts. Somebody said, I'm looking for some gifts from God. And you know what I find most people praying for? The gifts of tongues. I don't know why in the world they want to pray for that one. I mean, what does it prove? I can't hardly speak English to make people understand me. Why would I want something else that you couldn't understand? I want you to hear the truth. So in chapter 12 and verse 28, the Lord gives us some more. He said in chapter 12, 28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. That's differences in, of tongues, different tongues. Now, did you notice where God put it? At the bottom. That's not the first time he's put it at the bottom. And everybody turns it around, wants the bottom, come back to the top. So we find that in chapter 14 in verse 1. The Bible says this, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy, not speaking in tongues, but preaching. Amen. He said desire those spiritual gifts. We ought to desire some of those gifts that we have tonight. I'll tell you, if all those gifts tonight, if God could just give me one, it would be a blessing tonight. The one I'd like to have is a discernment of spirits. Discernment, the spirit of discernment. God, just give me the spirit of discernment so I can tell what's right, what's wrong. That would be a great blessing tonight just to have that one. Yes, sir. A lot of people can't discern anything. Chapter 14 and verse 19. Here's what Paul said. Yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Paul said if I just get five words over to you that you could understand, it'd be better than 10,000 words that you can't understand. Amen. So I like that too, don't you? So we look at these things. We'll find that the ones that spoke in tongues was the original 120 part of them. I don't know how many of them did it, but 120 believers that were waiting. Secondly, the unsaved Jewish people around there heard that gospel, and that's why this was given to them. And then we find some Gentiles, amen, later, and God put that in to prove to the Jews that is there. Now, do you say, preacher, you believe we're in the days of tongues? Amen. I believe they ceased. They ought to believe they have. Read chapter 13 of the book of 1 Corinthians. I don't have time to get into that. I wish I did. But you know what's happened? It took the Corinthian church to confuse it. Amen. The Corinthian church twisted and warped. And by the way, I read after C.H. Spurgeon, I read after D.L. Moody, I read after Sunday, I read after great men of God gone years gone by, I never heard them ever mention tongues. It's happened in the last few hundred years when people jumped in and got their own doctrine started, and it come from the Pentecostals and the Charismatics. And that tells me tonight, hey, it didn't happen in the early church. Find it somewhere in some of the other books and show it to me. It's like baptism. It's a doctrine they picked up and run off with it and twisted it and warped it. It's like the losing your salvation. It's a doctrine they picked up and took off with it, and it's been misused. But I want to show you this tonight, how that God said about him, what he said. And I just want to point this out. In chapter 14 of chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, I want you to go with me and start reading with me. And let's read in verse number 21. I want to read this and then I'm closing. Verse 21, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. God said, I've given them a sign, I showed them the truth. And in all that, they would not and could not hear me and would not accept me. So you'd have all these tongues and still not have it right. And then going down to verse 23, he said, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you're mad? They will. If I was in here jibber-jabbering, I've heard preachers get up and speak, amen, usually on the radio, and when I hear them do that, sometimes they've been preaching some pretty good little sermons and I liked it, and then all of a sudden they go to saying yo-yo and everything else, and I can't understand what they're saying, and I just cut the button off. They all, amen. They just mess up. Yes, sir. Well, I want to show you something. What's happened? He said they'll think you're mad. Go with me tonight to the order of tongues. In verse number 27, I want to point this out, and when I point this out, I want you to mark it in your Bible. It said, if any man, now I've got man circled in my Bible. Amen. You ought to circle there too. The reason, and you stay with me, I'm going to prove something to you. He said, and if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three. And I've been, when I was young, I went to some of the Pentecostal churches. They tried to sway me to the Church of God. I was one of them little shouting Baptists that love God. And I was so excited. Hey, I was so excited when I was a young brother, I'd have swallowed about anything. If it sounded good, I liked it. So I went down to the Pentecostal church, or went down to the Church of God. I preached a few holiness churches when I was young. Amen. You said, would you do it again? Give me an opportunity. I'll preach at the Catholic church next week. You'll get me an opportunity. I won't change what I'm preaching either. Amen. They need preaching too. And so what happened is I went there and I heard them speaking in tongues. There'd be one woman over here speaking, another woman over there speaking, nothing over here. And there'd be two or three on the floor at the same time speaking. And it said, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three. In other words, not over two or three. And then it said, and that by course, that means one at a time. Hey, you might have been back yonder in years gone by. I went to the churches and there'd be one preacher over here preaching, one preacher over there preaching, one back yonder preaching, nothing more here preaching. And I shouted and said, praise God. But it happens in the church now. I don't like it. I can't understand any one of them. Hey, man, it's hard enough to hear one, much less three or four at a time. Hey, suppose we have a testimony meeting and one jumps up and says something and another's over here testifying, and I have seen that happen, and it can happen if the Holy Spirit gets in, but I still prefer one at a time. All right. Then it said, and that by course, and let one, what's that been, another big old word, our great big old word, interpret. That means tell what you're saying. I've been in those churches and they spoke in tongues and nobody ever said what they said. They didn't know what they said either. All right. Then it said in verse 28, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him, circle that one, speak to himself, circle that, and to God. You said, why'd you do that? Because in verse 34, Paul comes along and says it. He said, this is a sour note I'm sure to quit tonight on, but he said, let your women keep silence in the churches. Did you know in the average church today that where they've got tongues, most of it is women, it's very few men? It originates by the women. They're all for it and they like it. You know why? When you're speaking in tongues, you're edifying who? Self. Amen. I mean, when you testify, who you want to testify for? Jesus. You don't want to exalt anybody or anything else, you exalt Jesus. Amen. And you may enjoy and appreciate your pastor, but when you testify and you're not to testify and exalt the preacher, you're to exalt Jesus. Amen. Now, that's not in my favor. Amen. I like for you to say kind things about me, but that's not what you're here to do. It's Jesus you speak about, right? Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the Lord. That's why I preach against women preachers. If God won't even let them speak in tongues in the church, amen. What makes you think he wants them in the pulpit preaching? And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in a church. It's not the woman's role tonight to run the church. Most of them do it. Most pastors' wives run the pastor, and the pastor just does what the pastor's wife says. And so that's the same as a woman running the church. Deacons, let the deacons' wives run the church. Amen. And so I believe tonight we'll stay just like it is. That's why I learned years ago we have men's meetings here. And we used to have little men's meetings and get in a little room back down and talk about what we need to do. And they'd say, all right, what we need to do is go home and pray about this. And I just finally got to the place and said, no, what we're going to do is go ahead and make a decision. Because what you want to do is go home and see what mama wants. And then you're going to come back and tell us what mama wants. So you men, you just make up your mind. We're man enough to decide what we need to do. And hey, if our wives are what they're supposed to be, they'll follow us. Because we're the leaders of the home and the church. Sour note to leave on, ain't it? But it's the truth. Amen. And I'll quit right there. I have not even scratched the surface. I'd like to take verse by verse and come down through it. But amen. Now, some of you may have got your feelings a little miffed, and some of you just let it pass through one ear and out the other. Some of you learned a few things, and some of you didn't like it at all. But that's all right. It's still the book. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Amen. It's hard to give an invitation on that one, but we're going to do it anyhow. There might be a reason tonight that you need to come to the altar.